Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, the point to ponder we're going to talk about in this Bible study that we're going to get into. And I'm going to preach a lot of times while teaching because some things just turn the fire up on the inside of me. I am a pastor / evangelist. I am a preacher and a teacher of God's Word. The pastor and teacher are not two different things. They are one. Amen. I've heard them separated. You know, he said in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher. The pastor and teacher is one. You can't be a pastor and not feed God's sheep. Amen. That's part of what being a pastor is, a shepherd. And Jeremiah 3:15 is very clear. I will give you pastors, shepherds after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, that's more than inspiring you. That's educating you. Praise God. I don't mean in some monotone, scholastic, schoolhouse type of setting. I'm talking about under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. The Word of God, it's exciting to me when it's made alive. Amen. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So as we get in the Word of God, amen, let's open our heart and open our life to receive knowledge and understanding, first of God Himself and then of His provisions for us in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The point to ponder today, therefore, that should challenge all of us as His children, it's time to stop complaining and start claiming. I want to say that again. It's time to stop complaining and start claiming. Now, maybe you are already claiming all that God has provided for us in Christ. If you are, you're living what the Bible calls the abundant life. Now, don't confuse this with the prosperity gospel that primarily is just an earthbound, greed-driven, materialism-based perversion of the gospel. Amen. This is not talking about that. This is talking about growing spiritually and receiving by faith all that God has provided for us. It will affect us physically, financially. It will affect us in every area of need that we have here in this fallen world. There are times we're going to need healing. God has made a provision through Christ for us. There's times when we're going to need a deliverance from a situation. God has made a provision in Jesus Christ for us. Amen. There's times when we're going to need delivering from satanic demonic oppression. God has made a provision for us in Jesus Christ. I could go on and on and on and on. But in every case of need, God has made the provision for our need in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Listen, it's time to stop complaining about what we don't have and claiming what is ours in Jesus Christ. I would love to have an amen to that before we go any further. Amen. I've complained before. Listen, the psalmist David said, "How long, O Lord, how long are you not going to move in my behalf?" He got impatient with God. We do the same thing. And when we're impatient, we have a tendency to complain when we should be claiming what is ours. Amen. Listen carefully. I want to make a statement. early on here. Are we ready to possess our possessions? The earthbound church too busy debating whether miracles are for today or whether God does today what He did in ancient times, debating the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or debating the tribulation, whether we're going through, be saved from, debating whether or not you need to repent to get saved, or can you just get your free ticket and keep on serving the devil. Listen, friend of mine, that debate goes on and on and on and on. And listen, while we are debating all these things, we're failing to inform God's people of His provisions for them, condemning them to spiritual poverty. No earthly help from God. For all practical purposes, many Christians are living as if we were of the world and not of the kingdom, if we didn't know God and have a Father in heaven who has made provisions for us and promises to us. Amen. For they are without God and without hope. You know why they're without hope? Because they're without help from God. Amen. Listen, friend of mine. No earthly help from God. Prayer becomes futile, and promises made to us never obtained. Provisions God has granted never possessed. This is not the material prosperity perversion of the gospel. It is the spiritual perversion of the gospel. Our soul does not prosper. Our faith does not therefore grow. We are not helped in the time of need, and God is not glorified. And I want to say it again. I want to say it in love, but I want to strongly declare it. It's time to stop complaining and start claiming. So let's look at this. In Joshua 18:1-3, it says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance." Now, the inheritance is something that has been provided and belongs to those to whom the provision was made, promised to them. Listen, that's why the land was called Promised Land. God had already promised them. And He calls the things not as though they were. He's telling them, it's yours. I have given it unto you. Not I will do it. I have done it. And you must possess it by faith. So listen to how this works. "And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath," past tense, "given you?" I like one translation of Scripture. It says, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, hath given you?" And the first step in taking possession of your possessions is to identify what is legally yours. Nothing, dear friend, is beyond the reach of prayer except that is beyond the will of God. When we discover in the Word of God the will of God, we can pray according to His will, and we have this promise in Scripture. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the provision, the promise that He has given us. We know it is ours. So we go ahead and claim it by faith before we even see it manifest. And before we can boldly claim to anything, we must have scriptural authorization. Notice they were laying claim to the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you. They had knowledge of the will of God because He had promised it to them. He had purposed it for them and revealed His purpose for them by promising it to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to how this works in the New Testament sense. Amen. Acts 20 and verse 32. Don't just relegate this to the Old Testament. This principle carries through to the New Testament. Acts 20 and verse 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you." Now, this is saved people. This is sanctified people. This is God's people. Listen, salvation is the greatest of all promises made and the most necessary of all promises to be obtained. If you're not saved, all the rest of it means nothing. Salvation is the most important purpose for our life, promise made to us that we obtain when we receive Jesus as our Savior, but it doesn't stop. His purposes for us are not over. We don't have to just try to get by down here without God's help and God's provisions, amen, and just hope Jesus comes before we're overwhelmed by our need, amen, for help that does not come to us. We are not like others who have no hope. Amen. I know that's concerning death and the resurrection of the dead. I know it's more at home at a funeral, but many people are living as if we have no hope in God and therefore no help from God. And we become depressed and dejected and discouraged and disillusioned, and we are cast down. And the world looks at us and says, "Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's this God of yours?" And they taunt us about that. I want them to know that my God is the true and the living God. Amen. And that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Praise God, He's in our midst when we gather together. Where two or more of you gather together, there am I in the midst of them. Is He just there, just spiritually to just be there? Or is He there for a purpose? Goes on to say, "If two of you on earth shall agree upon anything they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven." Praise God. Jesus is there to manifest Himself to us. God is in our midst to manifest Himself to us, in particular, in answer to prayer. Amen. So listen to Acts 20, verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Phillips translation is good. It's an old translation, but it's really up to date. Listen to it. "Now I commend you to God and to the message of His grace, which can build you up and give you your inheritance." That is provided for you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. The Amplified brings it out. It really does amplify it. It says, "And now, brethren, I commit you to God. That is, I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. And I commend you to the word of His grace, to the commandments and counsels and promises of His unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones." Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, it's so important today that we are not slack, to go over and possess the land that God has given us. Once we find it in the Word of God, once we discover it in a promise of God, we are to, by faith, possess that He has provided. It's time to start claiming and not just complaining. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, my dear friends today, God has made so many provisions for us. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, listen to Sarah's faith and what it was based on and how she possessed a promise in spite of everything in the natural being against that promise being fulfilled. Hebrews 11 and verse 11 and 12, it said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend of mine, the Amplified says, reliable and trustworthy and true to His Word. And when it says, considered him faithful, amen, judged him faithful who had promised, faithful to perform the promise. Praise God. Not just he's able, but he's able and faithful. Hallelujah. He watches over his word to perform it. It's amazing how, you know, preacher's preaching, we're looking at our watch, you know, let's hurry and get, we were entertained by the praise team, and now we're being bored by the Word. We're being bored. I know some preachers are boring. I get that. But there is an anointed time in a service, and if you're in a church where the anointing of God flows, if you're hungry and thirsty, amen, for more than just going through a religious routine and ritual every Sunday, amen, wanting to hurry and get through so we can do something fulfilling, and we see an opportunity to seize upon the Word that will bring faith to our heart, and we'll begin to grow in enough faith to reach out by faith and possess the promises and provisions that God has made for us. Praise God. Dr. A.W. Tozer said, and I quote, we are forever asking God to do things that He's already done or cannot do because of our unbelief. We plead for Him to speak when He's already spoken or is at that moment speaking. We ask Him to come when He's already present, amen, and waiting for us to recognize Him. Someone has said it really well when they said spiritual progress is only advancing in the knowledge of what we really possess at the onset. Praise God. Do I have your attention for just a few more moments today? S.D. Gordon, he said, when you are in the thick of the fight, when you are the object of attack, plead less and claim more on the ground of the blood of Jesus. May I add to that and to this? Also on the ground of the Word of God. He went on to say, don't just ask for victory, claim His victory to overshadow your life. Praise God. Can I reiterate the title of this message today? It's time to stop complaining and start claiming that is ours in Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that is merely misunderstood, I believe. It's hard to explain. That's why it's so easily misunderstood. It's in Matthew 11 and verse 12. It said, from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, allows. Now, this is not the violence of the mobs we see gathering today and assaulting police and so forth. This is different. Amen. And the violent take it by force. This is not overcoming God's reluctance, dear friend. It is aggressively laying hold on His willingness. I want to say that I'm not reading that from somebody else. Amen. I'm quoting me today. Hallelujah. Actually, I'm not quoting me. I'm going to quote the Holy Ghost because He's in me right now. And I dare say He's flowing through me right now. Amen. I want to make this very, very clear today. Let's read it from the Amplified. It says, He has endured, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. There's actually a scripture about salvation, and it says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. It's offered to us. It is given to us as a gift. But we must by faith lay hold on it. Praise God. Jesus has supplied the blood that is necessary to reconcile us to God. We by faith must apply that blood that has been provided for us. And it's that principle with every provision of God through the cross that God has purposed for His people. Praise God. Listen, I want to read this again from the Amplified. It says, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought for with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Ardent zeal and intense exertion. Praise God. We lay hold on the horns of the altar. We take hold of the promise of God. Amen. We refuse to be passive and just let, you know, que sera, sera. What kind of faith is that? Amen. Que sera, sera. Amen. What will be, will be. No, what will be when we claim this prayer answered. Thy kingdom come, thy rule, thy reign. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, we as God's children, as partakers of and participants in God's rule, God's kingdom. Hallelujah. We pray for His will to be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Dear friend of mine, we don't see all of what God wants to accomplish. What did He say? I'm going to go back to the old covenant while I have you just for 3 or 4 more minutes here. I don't have you for long before our attention is broken by the telephone, by some interruption. So let's go back to the old covenant. If my people, God wants to heal the land. God wills to heal the land. God wills to send a mighty revival and bring restoration. But it is contingent upon promises made and possessed by prayer, by the people who He has authorized to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Amen. Humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Praise God. Friend of mine, the kingdom of God allows for not passive, you know, que sera stuff, but people who are laying hold upon the promises of God and praying for His purposes to be done, manifest here in the nasty here and now, not just waiting for the sweet by and by. Well, this is the point to ponder today. Amen. I remember I was coming out of church one Sunday, after the Sunday, or one Wednesday, one or the other, I was coming out of church, and two brothers were following me out, and I was under the load of a particular burden concerning my health, and this was many, many, many years ago. And all kinds of, you know, things would play in your head when you lay down at night, and these scenarios would play, well, it's probably something that's going to progress, and it's probably going to have to be checked out, and you're probably going to be hospitalized, and you're probably going to go through this, and you're going to go through that. And I remembered the promises of God and how He healed me when I was a child of cancer of the blood, leukemia. And here I am today, a living testimony, amen, to the faithfulness of God to keep His word and to manifest answers to prayer. Yes, today, here and now, amen. The days of miracles are not over, or no one couldn't ever be saved, because the definition of a miracle in the most simplistic terms, without complicating it, is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. And if anybody is drawn to Jesus to be saved and convicted of their sin, hallelujah, and saved, it is a supernatural intervention. If it took its course to the end, they'd be lost forever. But because of someone praying for them, someone interceding for them, God begins to deal with them. Praise God. And He interrupts that would just go ahead and play out through a supernatural interruption. And that, my friend, is a miracle, the greatest miracle of all. But it's not the only miracle that we can receive in answer to prayer. Praise God. I remember stopping on the way out and said, I want y'all to pray for me right now. I want you to pray for me and with me, and I want to claim healing in my body right now. Praise God. I didn't have to fly out to somewhere known for, you know, some mega church having miracles or some preacher that has a particular gift of healing. I knew two of us are agreeing together, amen, as touching something. They didn't even know what in particular it was, but they were agreeing with me in faith. And I knew in my heart that it was time to claim that has been provided through the blood of Jesus at the cross. When I was reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus, God became my heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And He's a good and gracious God. And He has the power to heal and deliver and set free. Power to save. Hallelujah. But I needed physical healing. I was already saved. And He released that power when I claimed it by faith. And here I am. Amen. That was when I was in my early 50s. I am in my late 70s. I know I don't look like it because you can't see me. Praise God. But I'm telling you right now, God healed me and the devil couldn't torment me anymore, because the kingdom of God allows for faith that claims. Will you give me three more minutes? Are you interested enough? Do you care enough? Amen. Do you want to go through the routine? You want to rush in, rush out, and just, you know, try to keep your foot in the door in case you need a miracle? Or do you want the faith through the information you're receiving from the Word of God, where faith comes from, amen, to reach out and claim a miracle? Praise God. That's the difference. Amen. Are you just hungry and thirsty for enough to get you to heaven? Or would you like something that will help you right here until you go to heaven? Amen. The things you need right now in your life, you're not going to need when you get to heaven. But boy, I can honestly say I need them here and now. Praise God. I'm glad our God is a right now, right here God. I'm glad He answers prayer today. But it is a particular, it's not just the cry, the complaint. God, don't you see my need? Yes, I have complained, but it's time to claim what is ours in Christ. Where do you find that out? You find it out through the Word of God. I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. This is for not just super saints, this is for every single child of God, because God has become your heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ is your mediator and your high priest today. Amen. And He has made, and you can read it in the promises of His Word, amen, He has purposed and provided for every need that we could ever have. But every promise made is possessed by faith. And if we're slack to possess what He has promised, then we live beneath our inheritance. Oh, friend of mine, God loves you so much today. He has provided a lamb, amen, a sacrifice acceptable to Himself for our sins. And that Lamb of God was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ to take our place on the cross. And the Scripture is very clear in Romans 8. It says, if He loved us enough to offer up His only begotten Son, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Praise God. If He's given His best that we might be saved, did He just stop and say, now don't expect anything else? You're living in a faulty body, fallen world, with a formidable foe in the devil, but don't expect any more help. That's all there is. There ain't no more. That's not the truth. The truth is there is more. There's much more, because God is a benevolent, gracious, giving God. If He spared not His own Son, Romans 8:32, but gave Him up, offered Him up as a sacrifice lamb for us, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Oh, we don't serve a tight-fisted God. It actually says back in the Old Covenant, thou openest thine hand, amen, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Jesus took that truth about the Father and said, if He so clothed this open-handed God, if He so clothed the lilies of the field, they don't toil or spin. But Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as one of these. And if God so clothed the lilies of the field, will He not also clothe you, O you of little faith? Oh, friend of mine, don't try to pry open a hand of a tight-fisted God. And don't perceive God as being this tight-fisted God. Come to the God that showed the openness of His hand when Jesus laid Himself down on that wooden cross and He opened His hands to receive the nails in them. And in the opening of those nail-pierced hands now, forever open, forever pierced, that we might know the graciousness and the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. Today, let's quit complaining. And by faith, let's reach out and claim what He has provided and promised us in and through Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord today as your personal Savior, amen, the Bible is very clear. It says you are without God, and because you're without God, you're without hope in the world. You're on your own. You're on your own. No matter what happens, you're on your own. And when all of man's resources fail you, and there's nowhere to look, and there's nowhere to turn, you have no God, no Heavenly Father that says, call on me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. Thou shalt glorify me. But you can repent of your sin, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be reconciled unto God. You can call Him Abba, Father, and pray and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. And then you can ask Him in faith for whatever you need in your life, and you can claim every promise He's made to His children. Amen. For we're in covenant with Him through the blood of Jesus. Oh, friend, don't run from God today. Don't look to drink and drugs. Don't look to man's ingenuity and intelligence. When all of those things fail, and they ultimately will at some point in some circumstance, call upon the Lord. Come to Christ and call upon the Lord. And the moment He's your Lord, God is your Father, you become a prisoner of hope, because there's nothing impossible with God, and nothing impossible to him that believes. In Jesus' name.